You've come to the right place. If you're looking to create, launch, and scale a high-value online training program, I'm your guide, Chris Badgett. I'm the co-founder of Lifter LMS, the most powerful learning management system for WordPress. Stay to the end. I've got something special for you. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of LMS Cast. I'm joined by a special guest. He's back on the show. It's Calvin Corelli. He's from Simplero.com, which is an online platform for delivering coaching, consulting, courses, and building communities with a super sweet angle of being an all-in-one approach so you don't end up with this software Frankenstein of all these different tools. Welcome back on the show, Calvin.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me back. We had a conversation, what was it, like 3 years ago or something? And I'm super excited that you're having me back for another chat.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. So Calvin and I have both been in this industry for about 10 years, basically helping people with something to share, to teach. Calvin, in our pre-chat, was describing it as like a second act, where somebody figures something out and they want to then take that knowledge and skills and experience and package it up and help create a bigger impact and build a business around that with Simplero. Let's start there, Calvin. Tell us more about the, you know, this kind of perfect fit customer for Simplero and really just this movement of people that, you know, maybe a little later in life decide, you know what, I want to give back to those who are further back on the journey.
Yeah, so I'm inspired by Joseph Campbell's story of the hero's journey, like the arc that basically all myths from throughout history follow the same arc. It was what inspired George Lucas to write Star Wars based on the hero's journey. And it's this idea that you're living your life and then something happens that makes life as it used to be untenable. It doesn't work anymore. Like you're overweight, and your doctor says you're going to get a heart attack if you don't do this, or you're going to get diabetes, or like whatever it is, like something has to change, right? Like back against the wall, you need to figure out how to make some money. And so we go on this journey. We first refuse the call. Everybody refuses the call. Oh, like I don't want to change. Oh God, then I don't want it. And then we find a mentor and some helpers, and there's going to be some enemies and some fights. And then we go to the innermost cave of battling our own demons and all that stuff. We come out, there's some more struggles and fights and more help. And then we return to where we came from. But now we have what he calls the elixir. We have the fountain of life. We have this like magic potion that we can use to help others because we figured out how to combat pre-diabetes or being overweight or whatever it was. And we solved it for ourselves. And now we're in a position where we can be the mentor to the next person. And I find that most of the people that we work with are people of that sort. Now they have the elixir and they're like, I got to share this thing. Everybody in the world needs this. Like, this is about my most amazing thing ever. And then they're like, why aren't people just beating down my door to want this thing? And that's when they realize, oh, crap. I need to go on another hero's journey, complete with another refusal of the call and another mentor and helpers and enemies and opposers and, you know, going to the dark night of the soul and the innermost cave and like all of that stuff to go to figure out how to actually get this to other people. And that's where we come in. We're at that point where we help them on the second hero's journey. They might already have tried some different things, right? They might have tried like gluing together, like you said, 9 different software platforms, email marketing and website and like shopping cart and video hosting and membership site and community and affiliate tracking and surveys and schedulers and funnel builders and like all of the things, right? And they're like, oh God, it's so complicated. So we help them on that journey on the technical side of things and also on the inner game thing, because it's like 80, 90%, it's the strategies and tactics and all that stuff is very important, but that's the least of it. It's all about the mindset, the beliefs, believing in yourself, believing that you're worthy of having a business, of having a following, daring to be visible in the world. Like all of those are all the things that everybody battles, and myself included. And so that's why we do the software and we do the coaching for people.
Awesome. Well, tell me more about the coaching side. Like, as a software company with Simplero, how do you deliver the coaching? Is it part of the package? Is it like a value add? Is it an upsell? And then what does it actually look like?
It's a separate program. And it's not only for people who are using the software. It's also for people who are not using the software, though. Like, it's most of the people are come from the software, because that's the majority of how we've marketed so far. But it's really for people outside of Simplero as well. And the idea behind it is very simple. Being an entrepreneur is a spiritual journey, right? Every problem in business is a personal problem that happens to show up in business. And every personal problem is ultimately a spiritual problem. Like, it's about like who we are being in the world, what's the truth about our nature. And the reason I say spiritual problem is because what happens is that we all have this feeling deep inside in our personality that says, I'm not enough. I'm inadequate somehow, right? It's whether it's like, I'm not rich enough or successful enough or famous enough or skinny enough or fat enough or sexy enough or like whatever it is. It's like, I'm not enough. And so we try to go into personal development, like teach me how to work out, teach me how to lose weight, teach me how to build a business, all those things, which is great. It's very valuable. But we reach a point where we realize it's never going to fill that void of feeling not enough, because that lives at the personality level. And that's why when we go to the spiritual level, that's where we can actually come to terms with the fact that we are already enough at a spiritual level and we'll never feel enough at a personality level. And then we can operate from that energy. So that's the work. Like, for me, it's all about making it simple. And it's about bringing in this, like, it's the simple systems. And then it's the spirituality, and it's bringing the two together to actually get where we want to go. And the coaching, so it's, like I said, it's an add-on to, it's an additional, like, it's a separate program, if you will. And the format is what I see as the most effective format in the market right now. And I'm curious to hear what you see out there, but it is, we do a weekly group coaching call. It's 90 minutes where I present a framework up front, 15, 20 minutes or something. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but I present a framework. And then the rest of the time is open Q&A, either about that framework or really about anything that people have. And so that 90 minutes is where we meet every week, same time every week. That's where I get to meet people, they get to meet me, and they get to meet each other, right? So by showing up vulnerably with a question on that call, other people on the call see them, everybody's cameras on, and then the recording lives in the community site portal forever. And so over time, we build up this catalog of knowledge, right? Both the models and all the Q&As. And then we have a discussion forum online and alongside those recordings. And because people meet each other on the calls, now the community works a lot better. So is that like content together, the group calls with the community and with some content. We have some pieces that are pre-recorded in addition to the coaching calls. Put all that together, that format works really well because people can support each other in the community, get a lot of value. They can meet you. They can get direct answers to those questions and discuss it. They can see each other and they get all the models and the frameworks. And it's very efficient for you as the coach, because you show up for 90 minutes a week and then maybe a few hours throughout the week where you engage with the community and answer some questions, et cetera. And I have a person on my team that manages the whole program. So I just essentially just show up for 90 minutes a week.
Wow, that's awesome. I would agree with you, just in my experience and what I'm seeing with users, that mix of content, whether that's courses or live coaching and community and actual like real conversational coaching, is that's where mm-hmm. the magic happens.
Yeah.
A question I have for you, I usually don't ask two questions at once as a podcaster, but they're related, so I'll ask them together. One, if you've been doing it for a while, don't you sometimes get to the point where your body of work is kind of covered the hero's journey or all the stages and problems? So that's one. And then the other one, just kind of inverse to that, is I'm sure you've found a few areas or specific models or problem areas that are kind of red hot and very popular. I'm curious what those are.
Yeah. So to answer the first, I haven't gotten there yet. And I've also gone back to certain topics to give a fresh take on it, a fresh perspective based on like what I've learned in the meantime, or just to sharpen it with people. So I think that's fine too. What's great about it too is that the questions that people ask give me inspiration for what else to cover, right? And so I will, if there's like, all right, here's something that I see a lot of people struggling with, I actually don't have the answer, let me go out and research the answer and find the answer from some of the smartest people in the world that I happen to know. And then I bring them, or just from books or whatever research I do, right? And then I bring it to them and I'll be like, hey, this is something that I haven't yet implemented or I'm in the process of implementing. So I don't know, I can't tell you about, like, I'm not talking about this from my personal experience of like what I've done. I'm saying, this is what I've gathered. Here's where I've gathered it. Here's why I believe that that's one of the best answers out there right now, because of these people or what I've seen or heard or this place and that place. So I love that because it like, if I try to sit down and create content and come up with stuff like in a vacuum by myself, it never, ever works. It never works. What works is always meet people, answer their questions, listen to their questions, see where they're at, figure out what they need, and then deliver that either in the moment, or I'll give the best answer I have in the moment, and then I'll make a note and go back and research and go deeper next time. And your second question was, what are the hot topics right now?
Yeah, favorite, greatest hits.
So the model, this is something that I'm curious what you're doing, but for lead generation and conversion, right? Every business has three main parts. You have you need to generate leads, people who are interested, right? If you have a hot dog stand, it's like the people who walk by or whatever, they're potentially a prospect, right? Then you need to engage them in a conversation where you can have a chance of converting them. So it's sales. So that's when they're step up and they're interested. And now you try to sell them a hot dog and maybe a soda as well. And like, do you want a pretzel with your hot dog or whatever? Upsells, whatever you have, right? And then delivery. So where you actually deliver the hot dog, give them the hot dog, and then they hopefully eat and enjoy it. And it reminds me of like, it's crazy. A book that I've read recently, which is Unreasonable Hospitality. It's freaking incredible. If you haven't read it, we can double click on that later. There's a great hot dog story in there. Anyway, so lead leads, conversions or sales, and fulfillment. Leads tends to be the thing that everybody wants more of.
Right? How do I get everybody, clients?
Right. How do you get more leads?
Yeah.
And conversion too. How do you convert those leads? But generally people want more leads, right? That's the number one thing. And something that I've been struggling a lot with, like how do you get good leads? You can do, it's basically like people talk about organic, partner, and paid. Yeah. So organic is like you post like SEO and the SEO, like, well, SEO is optimization, but SEO, which I personally have always found excruciatingly boring, but I know it works really well for some people. But then when you have ChatGPT and Gemini and like, are we going to see kind of a move away from search results and all that stuff? So questions on that. And then there's like posting organic content, which was great like 5-6 years ago. And most of these platforms, mostly now it's really hard. Yeah. Like Reels, TikTok, Shorts are kind of where you get the chance of distribution, but the game's just gotten like a lot harder. So organic's kind of difficult. Partner can definitely work. Like that's affiliate programs, referral programs of different kinds, partner programs, ambassador programs. It's definitely one of the things that have worked well for us, but we found it so far, it's been tricky for us to really scale it. Like it works well, but we don't have a lot of levers to pull on it that we've been able to build, like acquiring new people or getting existing new partners or getting existing partners to promote more. Hasn't really moved the needle for us. Then there's paid running ads. That is getting harder and harder as well. Like 4 years ago during the pandemic, like everybody flocked to their computers and like ads were working like gangbusters. If you know, it's always been a game of, you have to know what to do and how to do it. You have to be a little bit smart, but like they generally worked really well. And then like, it's just getting more and more expensive and more hard, right? Like even back, the whole reason that ClickFunnels exists is because of funnels, which is because like you could no longer make the math work if you just like ran ads to an offer and that was it. You need upsells in order to pay for the traffic in order to make the math work. And so, and even with like the most, the deepest, most advanced, most clever funnels, like it's harder and harder to make ads work. Russell did a podcast, Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels did a podcast end of December where he was like, I don't know what to do. I'm at wit's end. Like all our funnels are just not working as well anymore. Like, and he was going to go hard on organic content as the way to, the, to do it. Because if like, if you look at Alex Ramosi, like what he's done has been really, really successful. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. You have to be really good at it, but it really works when you do it well. So my conclusion, and it's like a long answer to say, my conclusion is, that the best way to get attention these days in general and for me specifically is podcasts, which is why I'm here. So by going on podcasts, the right podcasts, of course, but by going on podcasts, I get a chance to be in front of new people, new audience. And those people that are attracted, that like it, they end up spending like 45 minutes with me, which is fucking awesome versus like an ad where they-
Or TikTok.
Right, exactly. Whereas like 45 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever it is, right? So now they're spending a lot of time with me. And then I'm going to invite people to then follow me on Instagram, at Calvin Carelli on Instagram. Go follow me there. And then DM me. If you DM me the words 10K, I'll send you my super simple blueprint for how you can scale to 10K a month as a coach, like the simplest possible path that I've come up with. So that's my CTA. So now I'm getting people on Instagram, getting a DM, and then on the DMs, I am going to, spoiler alert, I am going to chat with you and see if you're fit to work with me either on Simplero as a client on Simplero or as a client on my in my coaching program, Simplero Academy. And that I've found so far is the model that appeals the most to me. I'm not paying for ads. I'm actually getting to spend like 45 minutes an hour with someone that I like and that I care about. And I talk about stuff that I care about for people who are interested enough to spend the time to listen to it. So that to me is the hot topic right now, is like that combination of podcasts or like stages in general. So being, it can be in a physical stage, it can be a summit, it can be whatever, but you're on someone else's stage talking now. And then you get people onto your social media. I like Instagram because I have a great chat DM platform. YouTube doesn't have that. Facebook does. LinkedIn has a chat. So I like where we can actually converse with people, because that's, you know, the transaction happens in conversation. The conversion happens in conversation, not like, it's harder and harder to get like a landing page to work. And so with this model, you don't need funnels. You don't need landing pages. You don't need any of that stuff. You can just over chat enroll people directly into your programs at, you know, 5K, 10K, 20K, 30K. Like it's like, there's really no, like you can enroll people into very high ticket programs over chat without a call, without nothing else. So that works really remarkably well. And so it's that combination, podcast to get new eyeballs, Instagram or whatever your preferred social is to nurture and convert those people. And wow, that becomes the funnel, right? That becomes the funnel. That's your, like podcast is your top of funnel, and then Instagram becomes your middle of funnel and your bottom of funnel. So you don't need, yeah, no complicated software and tech and all that stuff.
I love that. And podcast too gives you a lot of brand awareness that's not tracked. Like you don't always know, but
right, yeah,
that still matters.
100%, right? It's like what's in people's heads. I remember a conversation I had with Gary Vaynerchuk years ago, where it was like, everybody else is like so obsessed with like the emails and the followers, and they want to have all the, you're like, I don't care about that. Like, I just want to have that position in your mind, right? I want to have the shelf space in your mind. So you're going to look me up on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, because I like, I'm already in you. And that's, you know, that's so powerful when you do that well.
Yeah. And you mentioned, the podcast 45 minutes. I've heard it called portable content. I've been podcasting for 10 years. I started my podcast at the same time as Tim Ferriss. I'm just a lot less known. yeah. But the whole thing with portable content is you're only competing with three things: audiobooks and music and podcasts, other podcasts. And you also
portable as in like people listen to it while they're walking or driving or whatnot.
Doing the dishes, whatever. Right. And you have that long time, like, you know, at least probably the small podcast is like 12 minutes, a long one's like 3 hours. Yeah. So you have a lot of attention without as much distraction as like on a screen per se. So that's for course creators and coaches in particular, I think podcasting is absolutely great because not only can you sharpen your expertise by interacting with other leaders in your field and representing the best interests of your client.
Yeah.
But you're building that partnership relationship at the same time where, you know, cross promotion, joint ventures or whatever can happen.
Exactly. And that's a huge thing too. I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because like you and I being on this chat together, like now we're refreshing a relationship that has been dormant for a few years. And now like, oh yeah, like Chris is top of mind, Calvin's top of mind, right? So it's really that opportunity for relationship building is awesome. And so my strategy is I have my own podcast as well. I don't use that for lead gen, right? Because that's not going to happen. Like that, like people are not going to, well, I might, if I get really good at SEO or whatever, like people might search the Apple podcast directory and find my podcast, but probably not. That's more once they heard about me on your show on Lifter LMS. What is the podcast called? I forget.
It's LMS Cast.
On LMS Cast. Once they found me, once they hear about me on LMS Cast, they're going to follow me on Instagram. And then they might go like try to look me up on YouTube or just podcast. And then they're going to find my podcast and get spend more time with me. But that's not even like the primary thing for my podcast is number one, building relationships. So getting people on my podcast that I want to build a relationship with, right? That could be for potential referral partners, or it could be potential clients that I want to get in front of. And secondarily for content. So we'll take the content off of my podcast as well as this podcast and then put that into what I call my content machine that then like finds, you know, snackable bits that we can post as TikToks, YouTube shorts, or reels, and also longer like YouTube clips as well. And so those are the two purposes that my own podcast fulfills, but it's not a lead gen tool.
That's awesome. Yeah. In my opinion, podcast is like the super, super platform that can go a lot of places and do cross-functional things.
Totally.
For the course creators and coaches out there, well, go ahead. You had another thought.
Well, it's just like when I started podcasting, and I haven't been super active, but I'm getting back into it now. But when I started, I was really worried about like, well, but I don't have, you know, much traffic. It's been, I think I've had one person ever that I asked to be on my podcast that was interested in that number. People don't give a crap about how many downloads you have on your podcast. Generally, they're just like, they're excited to chat with you. And emailing people and saying, hey, will you be on my podcast is such a better ask than, hey, will you be a referral partner for me? Or do you want to like, can I sell you my software or my coaching program or my thing, right? My course. Like, it's a much better ask to say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And then, oh, by the way, now we can have a conversation.
I love that. For course creators and coaches who, I know this is a hot button issue in our industry, so I wanted to ask your take on it, who are wanting to do marketing. They're kind of getting that imposter syndrome of like getting out on the stage, taking on the role of the mentor in the hero's journey framework for others. And they're like, who am I to be Gandalf or Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever that comes up. And then also just literally getting into creating information products and making content videos and YouTube channels and TikToks and all this, especially from your perspective as a spiritual teacher, how does one kind of get moving and get past that imposter syndrome?
By making it about them, not you. When you're like, oh, who am I to, and I don't have, and what if, like, that's you making it all about you. the more you can make it about serving other people, that just totally goes away, right? Because it's not about you, it's about them. So put your focus there. It's actually my first book is Show Up and Serve for that reason, right? Show up and serve. Just show up and serve, and not like, don't be so focused on yourself. Focused on the difference that you can make for other people. It's not even about like, so a hot topic along those lines are you allowed to coach people on stuff that you haven't fully mastered yourself? And I think it's fair. And I think like Gary Vaynerchuk likes to harp in on like 22-year-old life coaches. Dude, you haven't fucking lived life. Like get out of here. My take is that if you're on the path and you're doing the work and you're figuring stuff out, even if you're not, honestly, like if you have the skills to actually help other people achieve their results, then go do it. Just be honest about where you're at. Like forget the fake, like, you know, like all, you know, all those like fake private jet photos and like fancy cars and all that bullshit, right? Forget all of that. It's about you being just as real with people as possible. Well, one of my friends is Gay Hendricks, is author of The Big Leap and many other books and like been working on relationship, et cetera. But he coached Michael Dell at Dell Computers, for example. It's not like he's built a billion-dollar tech company, right? He doesn't have to in order to successfully coach Michael Dell because he knows how the mind works and he knows to get Michael Dell to the like wherever Mike needs to go. I don't know the details of their conversation. I just know that they work together. So it's not that you have to have the exact results. It's that you have what it takes to actually help people move forward in a genuine way. I think the trick is to, when we make it about ourselves, like, oh, like, because like, I, like you're like, I need you to, for me to feel good, like about myself, like you become a proof that I'm like the badass, the bad guy, like, you know, the baller or something, right? Like that whole like ego place, that's where it gets a little bit tricky. But if you're coming from a place of genuinely wanting to serve people, then go freaking serve those people. Like they need you. The other piece of that is like the further along you are, the harder it can sometimes be to remember what it felt like to be where you were like 10 years ago or something. So when you're closer to where your clients are, you might actually be able to help them better.
I love that. You just gave me a new insight as a deep Joseph Campbell studier myself, which is that the mentor, like Gandalf, he didn't get the ring. He helped Frodo get the ring. Morpheus didn't stop the Matrix. He hadn't done it, but he was a great mentor and guide for Neo to figure it out and find a way.
Right.
So the mentor is not necessarily a god. They're just they just know how to bring the best out of people. That's that's a cool insight.
Yeah.
Let's talk about masterminds. I know that's some of your users at Simplero are wanting to build masterminds as because they love community, but it can also be a powerful product that it can be life-changing and really send a ripple of impact out into the world. But how does one construct one of those?
Yeah, so, I mean, masterminds is an interesting phenomenon, right? Because it's kind of, it feels like, so originally the idea came from Napoleon Hill. He writes about it in Law of Success. He writes about it in Think and Grow Rich. Law of Success, by the way, I only heard about fairly recently, like a couple of years ago, and it's amazing. If you read Think and Grow Rich, but you haven't read Law of Success, I highly recommend getting into Law of Success. It's just incredible. Lays it out like very clearly. But so the idea of the mastermind is that you gather a handful of people or a dozen people, whatever it is, that have a shared outcome, and like we're working together towards that goal. In our industry, mastermind has kind of been morphed into this idea concept where it's just like we meet like 3-4 times a year maybe, and then there's some coaching, and then there's some like or not some coaching really, more content. There's some talks, and then there's some like you know, you can chat around the tables or in the breaks or whatnot. And then there's an online component where you have the recordings from the live events, and then you've got a community where people can use each other. I have found that, I think honestly, that model maybe has peaked. Because I think what people want and need are is like more of the coaching, more of the relationship building. What I've seen is that usually the online component isn't working as well for people in those programs as in some other programs. I don't know what you've seen, but I really like that coaching format where someone is actually taking lead and saying, "Hey, I'm coaching," and there's a community where people can use each other. But like I have a point of view, I have frameworks, I have a direction here that I'm coaching people on, because I think people come to you a lot because they want something that you have. They want to be like you in some way. And that's what attracts people. And then you can help people with that. But then like really the bait and switch is that a good coach will help people be themselves. Like they're attracted to you because there's some part of themselves that they have disowned that they're seeing in you, and they want some of that, which is awesome. So you can help them, you know, reclaim that piece and then really like put the spotlight on them to be who they are, not be like you.
In my experience, I'm a huge fan of masterminding, and I'm in some that have been going for like 4 years, meeting regularly. And yeah, the best ones, they really, it's not part of a product. It's just people at a very similar spot with very similar goals, mm-hmm. trying to do similar things, get together. It's outside of a product. It doesn't cost anything. It's just a group of people.
Yeah.
To me, that's been,
yeah,
the most sustainable and successful. I think when you try to productize that,
yeah,
I think you're better off, like you're saying, kind of doing the courses and the coaching and then encouraging your members to form masterminds on their own. And mm-hmm. that can actually benefit your business by being a part of that connection and all yeah. that. But it is tricky to like turn it into a product that to have the long-term benefits of a mastermind.
Yeah. Well, the simple answer to your question is once you have five people, you have a group. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to start a group, like a mastermind or a group coaching program or whatever it is, like once you have five people, you have something, and then it's just building from there and getting success with those early people and making sure that they love it. And then they refer their friends to it because it's so great. And then you build on that.
Yeah. Let's talk more broadly about the industry. Like, what do you see in these past 3 years, say, like if we go back to the early days of like online courses and internet marketing and like $2,000 courses that were just videos with a bunch of bonuses, where are we at today in terms of a better stack or this person called for the second act to do something? There's all this like overwhelm that comes with like tools and like what you're actually offering. Mm-hmm. What would you advise that person to simplify and get focused and give them a frame to step into?
Yeah, I think that the whole like the concept of the value ladder, like you have something cheap and then something a little bit more expensive, like that, like all those steps on that ladder is a little like outdated. We don't need that the same way anymore. I think the people who come to you, like the leads are hottest when they come right in the door, right? Like I think we've all been there where we were searching something over the weekend and we looked at, and then we like reached out to someone on Instagram and like got in the DMs or whatever the process was. And then like we didn't hear back. And then by the time like Monday, Tuesday rolls around and we got a response, we couldn't remember like, what was it? Why was I like really like so keen on that at that moment? I forget. Like, so there's like a half-life of leads. And I think that the danger is like, if you give people something like cheap and kind of need to walk them up the value ladder, like the best clients are just going to go find someone else who will get them like what they really need at fast. The price point that they're willing to pay, which is a lot higher probably, and give their money to that person. So I think it's more, what I'm seeing is like the all the free social media content marketing stuff, and the quality there keeps getting up, right? The bar keeps being raised for the quality of content that you need to put out there to be really heard and seen. If you want to build a big brand. And then, so the free stuff, and then a low ticket subscription. Like for us, it's the Simplera, the software, but it could also be like a low ticket, like, you know, $50, $100, $150, maybe $200 a month, community, paid community. And then a high ticket thing after that. So that could be more of like the 8-10K a year kind of thing. And then, or 15-20 or something in that range, even 30-60. And then you can go super high for like the one-on-one VIP experience, right? I've seen people charge $200,000-$300,000 for like, you know, one-on-one coaching in a year kind of thing. But, so there's still a value ladder of sorts, but it's more like your cheap membership is really just a way to get to like your new lead nurture that you get paid for and what you want to do. And like, it helps you offset some of your advertising costs. There's always going to be costs associated even with while you're doing this podcast, it still costs you money to do your time and all that stuff. So it helps offset some of that. And then, and weed out the prospects that are not interested enough to pay you. Like it could be as little as 10 bucks a month, right? Like it can be really low ticket, but it's enough to get, have some skin in the game and say, hey, these people are interested. And now you can ascend people into your quote unquote real programs and then have that, you know, 8, 10, 15K annual program as your main bread and butter business.
If you could wave a magic wand, would you advise somebody to build, say, a lower cost recurring community first before building the high ticket program, or opposite?
Opposite. Yeah. Build the like 8, 10, 15K a year program first, because that's where you're going to see the most traction, the most value. You're going to make the most money from doing that. And you're going to prove that that model works. And then you descend from that into a cheaper membership later. But you should be able to get just at least a handful of people in there without too much effort. And then you can lower the price on that, and you can do it for free and say, hey, I just need some case studies. The only, like, I'll do it. It's normally it's 10,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is, but I'll do it for you for free. If you will like promise that if you like it, offer me a testimonial and refer to your friends or something like that. Right. So, cause we need to get started. We need some case studies. We need to show that we actually can deliver results for people. And so if you don't have that, you can do that to get started.
Awesome. I'm sure you see this too. So I want to get your take as like a education entrepreneur person, but also a spiritual person. Sometimes there's really talented people out there that have a lot of interest. Maybe they got really paid really well at their job doing XYZ, but they kind of hate it, but they're actually really into like yoga and alternative healing and like some kind of fitness program. And they can't pick a topic or an avatar. And they're just like, they're really excited about entrepreneurship and marketing and they want to do this thing, but their topic and avatar selection is just a mess. What do they do?
Pick one for sure. Pick one and pick one that you know and like, right? Someone that you would enjoy working with, whatever that avatar is that you have to really love the clients that you work with. You have to love working with them. So that's a given. And then if that still leaves multiple options, then I would pick the ones that have, you know, the most money to pay you or for whom what you can offer for them is valuable to the extent that they want to pay a good money for it, that they have the money to pay you for it, and that you can close, you can find them, you can target them, and you can enroll them fairly easily. So those are kind of the factors, right? You want to be like high average price point, you know, fast time to close. We're going to be able to easily identify and target those people, and then really enjoy working with them.
Solid advice. And just to jump on the other side of from leads over sales to fulfillment, what is unreasonable hospitality? You piqued my interest earlier, so I got to find out what this is.
So it's a book about 11 Madison Park, which is a restaurant like right up there on on the Upper East. That was the number one restaurant in the world for many years. And the book describes what they did to just over deliver on people's expectations as patrons of this restaurant. And what I love about it, like, it's something that we at Simplero, we over invest in customer success. And if something, if you look at our reviews online, like, almost all of them mention our customer support, our customer service, just because we really care. And that just comes from me because I just love great customer service. I hate receiving terrible customer service experience. I hate being like talked down to or like not heard properly. And like, you know, like there's so much garbage customer service out there. So something that we really invest in. And so when I read that book, I was like, it was one of those things where like three people were recommending that book within 2 days. It was like, okay, should probably read it. I read it. And then now I'm getting the whole team to read it because we're already good at this. And like, I want to like just double, triple down on that. And so one of the examples in there is that they would be so attentive to their guests. One of the waiters was overhearing some, you know, two couples that were visiting the city, and they'd eaten at all the top restaurants in the city, and they just had a great time. And this is not, they didn't share this with the waiter. The waiter happened to hear this, and they're like, their only regret was that they didn't actually get to visit a New York City hot dog stand. Like total opposite end of the spectrum from all these gourmet restaurants, but they were just like, they just wanted to have that experience. And so the waiter hears it, runs out the door to the hot dog cart on the corner, buys a New York a hot dog for them, you know, brings it to the kitchen and has the chef prepare it. So he chops this hot dog into four pieces, puts it on separate plates, and then does some like chef magic, garnishing, whatever. And then they serve that as like an extra surprise dish to the group. And they're just ecstatic, over the moon. And that level of just attention to people, to care, to just like running with it. And like the chef in the story was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like he's like, no, trust me. Like, we're doing this. And then they went through with it. I just love that. There's like a couple of other examples. There was that when people come, show up at the restaurant, ready for their, to eat, they will have looked up everybody who reserved a table. They'll have looked them up on Google. If you have the photo on the internet somewhere, they're going to find that photo. So when you step in the door, they greet you by name. Right. So wow. Like half an hour, 45 minutes before your reservation comes up, they review those photos. So they're ready for you by the time you come in the door. And wow. as you're entering, someone is signaling to the host whether your table is ready or not. And so they don't need to look at the computer. They can just say, hey, like here, they can just take you to the bar to wait or take you directly to the table. They don't need, like, they just like be with you the whole time. When you're at the table and they're asking you, do you want, you know, still sparkling or tap water? Like the waiter that asks you is going to signal some hand signs behind his back. And then someone else comes and instantly like just gives you the right water. Right. So it's like, it's just thinking things through like little details like that. That just, for me, I love that. I love that stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. And I just want to confirm, it's definitely part of your brand, like that care and that empathy and that great support. I have a friend near me who's a cook and a chef. He's actually used Simplero. And I remember him talking about your just the vibe and the support and the experience of the company. And I've just noted, like, that's just implanted in my brain with the brand of Simplero. It's like these guys go above and beyond and support and actually really care about their customers. And the fact that you have the coaching as well is just an indication, like we're not just trying to sell you software. We want you to be successful and remove blockages and stuff like that.
Yeah. And doing the coaching for me has been just remarkable. Like I see coaching as a force multiplier. I get to be with my audience every week, experience exactly what they're struggling with so that I can take, like, I just kind of ingrains my people, my avatar into my brain every single week. And it aligns me with the people that I'm serving in such a deep way. It's been really helpful for me, like really profound to do that. And it's crazy because I was like, for many years, I was so busy doing the software and so busy feeling like I was not worthy and imposter and all the stuff that we all struggle with, that I didn't do the coaching. And it was actually one of my friends that whom, sidebar, I met at a food truck in Washington Square Park over there some years ago, right at the beginning of COVID. He was the one that got me to do a coaching program. I'm so grateful because it's been, game changer for me and for the company and for our people.
That's awesome. And it ties back into your last point, which was that if you're having trouble selecting a topic or an avatar or a niche, who do you want to spend time with? Because if you're going to be really good, you're going to be spending a lot of time with these people, and you got to like them and get them and want to keep understanding and going deeper.
Yeah. And an added bonus for me too, has been like with this coaching program, I'm doing exactly what my clients are doing.
Right.
Right. I'm doing the same thing, using the same software. Like, guess where Simplero Academy runs? Of course it runs in Simplero. Like, everything runs in Simplero. And so that's why too, I like doing it externally as well. So we're not just working with Simplero Simplero members, but also with people who are not on Simplero yet, is really helpful, because that is me doing the things that my clients would be doing.
That's awesome. Well, Calvin, thanks for coming back on the show. I really appreciate it. He's at Simplero.com. He also has a personal website at CalvinCarelli.com. Yeah. Is there any other way? You mentioned yes. Again the Instagram DM thing.
Yes. So follow me on Instagram at Calvin Carelli, CalvinCorelli, two R's, one L, very confusing. Calvin Carelli at Instagram. And then DM me there's 10K and say that you came from LMS Cast, the podcast. Then I'll know that this is where you discovered me. And then I'll send you over the link to the video where I break down how to get to 10,000 a month as a coach. And then see how, like, if we can support you either on Simplero or in Simplero Academy or just some other way.
Awesome, Calvin. Well, thanks for coming back on the show. We'll have to do this again sometime.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of LMS Cast. Did you enjoy that episode? Tell your friends and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And I've got a gift for you over at lifterlms.com/gift. Go to lifterlms.com/gift. Keep learning, keep taking action, and I'll see you in the next episode.